Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn!
Yes, it's time for Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to our friends at Waipapa Taumātoro, the University of Auckland. Today we're joined by University of Auckland Finance Academic Gertjan Verdict. Morena.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Really excited to delve into your mahi and your research a little bit, which is sort of in the world of gambling harm, and you're looking at potentially alternatives to the lotto system?
That's correct. So what basically sparked our interest in this paper was that gambling is all around us nowadays and very salient when it comes to advertisements. So we go back into history to actually try to understand what happens if a government just stops and prohibits gambling altogether, and how people actually react to that specific law change.
So where have we seen that happen?
So we go back to 1905 in the Netherlands, so a long way back into history.
Okay, and what did that sort of rollout look like? Because I know that potentially prohibition altogether doesn't necessarily work sometimes.
Yeah, so the Netherlands, the Dutch government was really enforcing this. So both the sale and the purchase of traditional lotteries were prohibited. And at that time, they were really strict on informal, so private gambling as well. So they were really hard measures on this, that if you actually were caught, the fines were very, very steep. So they were very good actually in doing so. But what they also did was the law allowed for a very close substitute. So they call this lottery bonds, which is a normal bond, so a fixed income instrument, but you could also win the lottery with this. So that's why they made it a bit better to sell this from a politician standpoint to the citizens at that time.
So you could still potentially win big cash, but this bond would pay you back eventually, is that right?
That is exactly correct. So the bonds actually does pay interest payments and in the end a principal repayment as well. But some people randomly selected were win this big, big, huge prize, a life-saving prize, which we call a prize for an aspirational goal.
What does gambling harm currently look like in New Zealand? Like, what sort of a scale of an impact does this have on New Zealanders?
Yeah, so it has a huge impact, not only in New Zealand, but throughout the world. And the issue is a bit twofold. So on the one hand, it's very addictive. So it really strikes for everybody. But on the other hand, it also leads to a lot of financial instability. And this definitely harms people on the lower end of the wealth distribution. So low wealth individuals are substantially more harmed with this. And that's also what we actually show in our paper. It's, if you go back a century, this is exactly the same. That low wealth individuals are more likely to gamble, lose financial stability because of it. But if you allow this closed substitute, this lottery bond, you actually introduce them to a safer asset, but still allow this potential upside. And that's also what we find, is that these lower wealth individuals are more likely to switch to this bond.
I've seen in the media recently lots of issues around online gambling and online sports betting. What's your suggestion to kind of improve that situation? Because it's quite rampant by the sounds of things.
It definitely is. So there are other countries, like let's say Australia, for instance, where a lot of these things are prohibited. So what we see nowadays a lot is Polymarket. So Polymarket is a similar website where you can gamble with cryptocurrencies. That is totally prohibited in Australia. And also other countries are a bit increasing the barriers to entry. I think it's very hard to completely rule out gambling, but if you make it harder to do so, on the one hand, the second hand, if you increase awareness and literacy around these things, that would help too. But I think what our paper shows is that if you give people a clear path, a clear substitute that still has this gambling component in it, it can actually help. So the government can do a lot, not only take away, but also add to this this mix of gambling instruments.
Mm-hmm. So these lottery bonds, the example we spoke about with the Dutch government proposing the alternative, that was back in 1905, which feels like quite a long time ago now. Like, why do you think it's taken such a long time for us to start having this conversation again?
Because the lobby is very, very strong when it comes to gambling. So that's one thing. Also, these things came around and are still around nowadays, just with different names. So in the UK, for instance, we call this premium bonds. The New Zealand had something similar. We call this bonus bonds. It was not 100% the same, but it was something along those lines too.
So
these things have existed, but it's the same in New Zealand as in Belgium, as in so many other countries in the world, that the government actually issues these lotteries. So it's very hard to get this very nice stream of income from these lottery sales. So it's a problem that you need to address, but yeah, it's not a very easy solution to do so.
So do you think by offering a gambling alternative and kind of shutting down gambling or making it harder to gamble, do you think the government would ever take that step, or is there too much profit in it?
Well, they should. Let's put it like this. They should take this step because that's what our paper has shown. Other papers have shown something similar in other parts of the world with private savings accounts. So where you just save and so it's a savings account list like every one of us has, but somebody also wins a specific prize, and that actually induces people to save more. So all of these things do exist. I think it just needs to be some political will to actually start doing this. And I think what you're pointing out is correct, that there's a lot of money involved, but also it's a habit. And that's also what we show in our paper, is that who are more likely to switch? People above 40. Why? Because they have known gambling throughout their entire life. Yes. If you are below 18 at the time of the ban, you're never really exposed to gambling, so you're not likely going to switch or buy these lottery bonds. So habit formation is also very important here.
It's fascinating. You'd hope the government would put people over profits one day in the future.
I really hope so too. And one of the reasons why Amory de Vic, my co-author, and I have started this is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. prime time, just after the news, there's a lottery drawing on the television in Belgium. So that just grinded my gears every time I see this. Like, you make this so salient, like, hey, also you can win millions, whereas the likelihood of winning is so, so small, as we all know. But you don't really sell that message. You sell like, hey, you could win too. And that just, that unnerves me so much.
It's a huge, issue. So, really appreciate you taking the time to talk about your research a little bit with us, and wishing you the best of luck for the next steps for this research.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Have a good one. Thank you.
Ka kite.
Bye.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.